When it comes to your money, you don't know what you don't know, and you don't want to have to tell your future self, my bad. So what you don't know can hurt you.
On today's episode of Talking Sense, we're talking about the five biggest financial mistakes you can make and how to avoid them. Hey, welcome to the Talking Sense podcast. I'm Mark Osorio.
And I'm Teresa Arago. We're financial advisors, and if there's one thing we understand, it's that money can be confusing.
So get ready, because we're breaking down what you don't know about money today on the Talking Sense podcast. Welcome. My name is Mark Osorio.
And I'm Teresa Arago.
And contrary to what you might think, your 20s and your 40s are times to make big, big money moves. So many people in their 50s think that their 50s are the time to buckle down, right? Mm-hmm. But Teresa, what we know is that that's not really true, and not knowing that could hurt you.
Yes, many believe, you know, in your 50s, those are your highest earning years. Typically, by then, you've got most of your kids out of the house, unlike me. but you're at a point where you've got a lot more freedom in your budget. But the reality is, if you lacked discipline to save and plan in your 20s, 30s, or 40s, the chances of you getting really good at that all of a sudden in your 50s are pretty low.
Oof, that's kind of harsh.
Mm-hmm. So the first mistake that we're going to talk about today on our show is not getting professional help.
Right. So the biggest, and the thing is that it's not necessarily your fault, right? Mm-hmm. So the financial industry has largely been structured around commissions, AUM, and models that really make it difficult for, you know, early or beginner folks to get started.
Yeah, a lot of firms have account minimums that make it almost impossible for someone in their 20s to even get rolling. I mean, if you had to build up $250,000 in savings just to get started at, in your 20s or 30s, that's going to feel really daunting.
Yeah, let alone
and sadly, that's the way it is a lot of places. You know, younger generations aren't going to have that much. Many Americans under 35 have an average net worth of about $10,000. So that, you know, that's coming from a Federal Reserve study. Mm-hmm. So the chances, again, of someone in their early 20s, 30s, having the kind of assets that a lot of places require are pretty low. But that's why we as a firm made the decision a long time ago that we value all levels of wealth. If you want coaching, you can find it here.
Yeah, that's been one of our longest held beliefs, mm-hmm. Because we strongly believe that one of the biggest disservices that the industry has made and has done is to take the financial planning, right, and a powerful tool which is meant for cultivating individual wealth and security, and made it inaccessible mm-hmm. to the people that need it most. Mm-hmm. So the believing that and acting upon it is us not having those account minimums.
Because we feel like financial service is public service.
Yes.
That everybody who wants help should be able to get it. So the first mistake is not getting professional help. And if you've been having difficulty finding that, then our team is happy to help get you started. Second thing that we're going to talk about, one of the mistakes, is lacking savings. While not getting professional help is a big deal, it does pale in comparison to not having savings. You know, we talked in our first episode about some mistakes that people make, and one of them being debt. Mm-hmm. So if you don't have savings, it can really hurt you. And then when you get into retirement, if you don't have savings, that's an even bigger issue.
Yeah.
You know, it's worse if you consider the possibility that Social Security is one of those things a lot of people feel won't be here for retirement. And then you talk about the fact that pensions are a thing of the past for most people. You know, our grandparents had them. Some of our parents had them. But the chances of my generation, your generation, having access to pensions is pretty low.
Yeah. So let's talk about, you know, Social Security and pensions. Mm-hmm. And because also speaking about generations, right, my generation probably doesn't know much about either one of those. Mm-hmm. And if I wasn't doing what I was doing, I wouldn't know what mm-hmm. either one of those things are. So those are both of those. Social Security and pensions are things that we like to call guaranteed income sources, mm-hmm. right? And what they are is retirement benefits that once you reach a certain age, you are entitled to start receiving a monthly check from for the rest of your life.
And you hear a lot on the news about how Social Security is in danger, right? Mm. You know, they've got to use those fancy titles. It's going to be gone. And a lot of people that we meet with believe that there may not be Social Security when they get there. Mm-hmm. And we don't believe that it's going anywhere anytime soon. But there is a chance that there may be some changes to the system. And they've done it in the past. They've right. changed the full retirement age. If you've ever pulled your Social Security statement, which many of you people, you know, people that are listening to this podcast probably haven't. Mm-hmm. But if you ever pull that, there's something called your full retirement age. Currently, my full retirement age would be 67. Same. I can take Social Security at 62, but it'll be a lowered amount. So what they're more likely to do is increase that age so that if you take it earlier, it's an even more lowered amount to help with that.
Yeah. And so at the point, as we're going at the rate that we're currently going with continuing taxes, it's expected that, you know, once the reserves, right, which mm-hmm. the Social Security system, the way that it works is that there's four trust accounts, mm-hmm. right, where that it uses to draw benefits to fill in the gap mm-hmm. between the benefits that are being paid in by people that are currently working and then the benefits that are being paid out to folks that are receiving the benefits, mm-hmm. right? So at the current rate, it's expected that it would only be enough to pay just 76% of what's currently being estimated, right? Mm-hmm. That of those future benefits. So whatever let's say that my projected benefit was, you know, about $2,000 for my full retirement age of 67. Well, if, you know, nothing is done or nothing changes, then I would really only be expected to receive $1,500 of that, mm-hmm. right? So about 25% less than what my projection is.
So when you think about the impact of having less available guaranteed income sources, if you're not saving for retirement, then you really are putting yourself at a disadvantage when it comes time to retire. And then the other thing that we see a lot of is some people will prioritize their kids' college savings over their own retirement. And, mm-hmm. and we like to tell people there's no scholarships for retirement, but there are scholarships and even loans for school. Not that people want to use them, yeah. but your kids probably didn't want to get that degree just so you could move in with them. So it is important to make sure that you know, like they talk about on the airplane, you put your mask on first,
yes.
and then you take care of your kids.
Right. And that's a conversation that, you know, I've heard you have multiple times before with clients as we were talking about them, talking about saving for retirement, making sure that they understand, hey, it's very important for you, right, to provide that that support to mm-hmm. your kids. But at the same time, you have to also weigh that with, you know, how that's going to affect their future by them probably having to support you in mm-hmm. the future. So that's a big consideration.
Yes. Yeah, so our first two were not getting professional help and then lacking that savings that you need for retirement. Our third mistake is not taking full advantage of your employer match. And we've talked about this before. We're going to talk about it again because I just cannot grasp the concept of walking away from free money. And it is so impactful on your overall savings. The studies have shown that your chances of success increase exponentially just by having access to and using an employer plan.
Yeah. And, you know, one mistake that the younger generation makes, I will take this on myself as well, because whenever I started investing, this is definitely something that I was guilty of as well, but only saving in retirement accounts, right? In mm-hmm. in our employer retirement accounts, mm-hmm. right? So the things that we hear about most is 401ks, right? So and in the 401k is something that's set up automatically for us. Mm-hmm. So yeah, naturally that's where most people start out. Mm-hmm. But you know, starting out there is good. Staying there is not so good.
Mm-hmm. And we have a graph that we're gonna put up that shows just kind of the difference between an employer match and not having one, to kind of cover a little bit of that retirement plans and why it's important. You can see here the difference it makes, that blue line showing you how much it accelerates your savings through that employer plan. But Mark is right. Our next mistake we're talking about is not saving outside the 401k. And I can speak to this too. Mm-hmm. You know, I was a bookkeeper before I was a financial advisor, and I had bookkeepers, you really don't have access to an employer plan. But if I had known that IRAs were a thing, I would have put money into one. Right. And I think a lot of people feel powerless to save for retirement because they don't have access to an employer plan, or maybe they don't have the match. It's still a useful tool. Using your IRA options, whether it's traditional or Roth, is something you needed to talk with your advisor about, but utilizing something outside your employer plan to supplement. Because let's be real, guys, if you're saving 6% of your salary, even if you're doing it for 20 years, it may not be enough to replace your entire salary in retirement. You've really got to have that plan in place to know that. But, you know, people tend to neglect savings outside their employer plan, but they also, even outside of IRAs, there are other tools that can be utilized to drive your goals once you define them.
So we talk about diversifying a lot when we have our client meetings. And mainly that is centered around in investments, but there's also something to consider, which is diversification when it comes to accounts, right? So a planning point, an important planning point is understanding the needs that you have for money after you're 59 and a half and before 59 and a half, right? And we understand that, you know, because we understand the rules to IRAs, right? But the importance here is that you're going to have other needs prior to retirement age. So depending on whatever those needs are, then we need to look at saving in those non-retirement accounts.
And this just brings an even brighter light on the need for some professional help, because there are tricks that you and I know from what we do, because we specialize specifically in retirement income planning, that we know, hey, if you want to retire at 55, here are things you need to be doing now at whatever age you happen to be at to get that ball rolling the right direction. But if you're just going it alone, you might have some things that sneak up on you, some blind spots that maybe you didn't know about or didn't plan for properly.
Right.
So we said get some professional help, not having that enough savings put back, not taking advantage of an employer match, and not saving outside that 401k as some of them. But what's our last one? What's the last mistake we're going to talk about today?
The last mistake is not understanding the power of compounding. And this is huge, especially for younger folks, because the longer that you have, right, the more that you can take advantage of this benefit. So compound interest is by many said to be the seventh wonder of the world, right, because of its ability to build wealth over time.
And I think some people see market risk as a bad thing. Many people have seen, you know, 2008, 2009, and then they've seen what happened last year during COVID, and they go, man, I don't want to lose a dollar. But I like to remind people to think sort of like your house value. You know, if you're not trying to sell your house, then the value doesn't really matter. You want to take care of it. You want to make sure you're doing the things you need to do to protect it. But it's not as important that you watch every day what that house is valued at, because you're not selling it. But if I'm buying houses and the market has dipped, that has a huge potential to benefit me long term. And that's where people tend to miss out.
Yeah. And this is a really fun topic for us to talk about, because something that we're probably going to be talking about a lot is behavioral finance.
Yes.
Right. Because that impacts so much of our daily financial decisions, right? It's just the psychology of how we make those decisions. And there's something called experience bias.
Yes.
Right. And what that refers to is that whenever we've experienced something negative, right, then there's an increased or a heightened awareness in our mind to believe that it will happen again soon. Right. And then so that creates a bias, a negative bias towards whatever that is. Right. And so for us over the past 15 years, you know, we've experienced a few significant economic downturns, right? So that's now in our minds and constantly being enforced, right, through just the news outlets, because you know, a lot of it, you know, tends to be pretty negative.
Yes.
But with that, for a lot of folks, it keeps them away from tools and investments that really are to their own benefit.
And I think the key is to use the word tool there. If I try to use a hammer to put in a screw, it's going to be very frustrating and destructive. But if I use the right tool for the right purpose, it's a different reaction. And I think sometimes people use equities as the wrong tool.
Right.
Equities are intended to be a long-term investment. They're not intended to be something that we try to play at. You know, I don't play with my money too much, and I certainly don't play with my retirement savings. So having that plan that gives a purpose to our investments is huge.
Yes.
If you were to take $100 a month and grow it at 9% over 30 years, it would almost be the same thing as saving $300 a month at 3% for a shorter period of time.
Yeah. You
know, that smaller amount just progresses much faster when you give it a little extra time. I talked with my niece that I raised. She's 21 now. when she was younger, she had the benefit of living with me during her teenage years while I was getting licensed. So she got lectured a lot about money.
I can imagine.
And I didn't think any of it was sticking, but she did start a Roth IRA when she graduated high school with some of her graduation money. And to be able to help her learn, she's been able to watch that grow with even just a small amount per month being put into it has been very impactful in helping her develop the habit of saving.
Yes.
And a lot of people don't realize your teenager can have a Roth IRA. So for those that have young kids, and you know, as they grow up, be intentional and teach them these concepts that we're hoping you're learning also. So it's time for our 2 cents today. So I'll go first. You're unique. And your financial advice needs to be unique to you as well. You've got goals and dreams that are entirely different than the people beside you, around you. We talked about keeping up with the Kardashians. Your goals are different, right? So it's important that your uniqueness be part of your plan and that it fits you and your family dynamic perfectly. So you need an advisor to help you take the steps needed towards that. We've talked in past shows about MoneyWorks, and you know, this is a great way to educate yourself and get some tools. If you'd like to get access to that, it's mymoney.works to get there. We'd encourage you to reach out and get some help with that. Mark, what about you?
Yeah. So for me, my 2 cents would be that the best time to make sure that you avoid these mistakes is now. Right. Mm-hmm. So don't wait. Prioritize your financial independence now so you aren't in emergency mode later.
Yes. So again, you can text MoneyWorks to 501-381-5228 if you'd like to be contacted about how MoneyWorks might be useful to your family. If you've enjoyed our talking points today or you'd like some more information, we'd encourage you to subscribe, like our podcast, share it with that friend that you know who might be making some of these mistakes, and encourage them to listen too. We appreciate you joining us today. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for listening to Talking Sense. If you like what you hear, make sure to subscribe to the podcast to get all the newest episodes.
The GenWealth team is available for you 24/7 at info@getreadyforthefuture.com or call our offices at 866-653-PLAN. That's 866-653-7526.
And while we like to have fun here, we're also financial advisors, and that means disclosures. You should personally consult a financial advisor before making any investments, and no strategy can assure success.
GenWealth Financial Advisors is an Arkansas registered investment advisor with securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC.